horror than horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.
Hey, everybody, it's Saturday, Savage Saturday, here on JackalopeRadio.com. This is your host, the Mighty Griff, bringing you another fine episode of More Horror Than Horror. And like I announced earlier last week about making February VHS month, tonight we begin that stroll down memory lane by kicking off tonight's episode with a very special guest, a Mr. Josh Schaefer from the one and only Lunch Meat Magazine.
Yay.
Who focuses only and solely on the non-forgotten world of VHS, the glory days of
Be Kind Rewind
video. Yes, Be Kind Rewind, or you will receive a 50-cent penalty on your return.
Your membership card will be declined.
The one that was all folded up and brown and cracked and falling apart and...
Cocksuckers.
Oh, the good days of video. What was your first movie you rented, Tim?
It was probably something with large breasts and a scaly monster. Slitheth.
My first video rentals was Mom rented on Golden Pond, and I got Star Wars. That was my first one.
Wow.
Star Wars? Man, you were starting over the fucking whammy.
And that was a big deal when it was released.
Yeah, it was huge.
The video store I was at, I don't think they could even afford a Star Wars copy, man.
They were like $8, yeah.
My first horror rental was Night of the Living Dead. And
we had like Texas Ice Chainsaw. We got like Master. Ice Pirates.
You got the government version of Star Wars? Kind of like the government cheese?
I have to tell you guys, among my first rentals were Dr. Butcher, M.D., Blood Feast, Texas Chainsaw. Mm. These were all because Anton House of Video, man, they had the Betacam going before VHS was even out, and they had some of those put out by Wizard Video at the time. Remember those? Killer and all
I
that
I remember
stuff.
Renting when I was young, dude. That first Faces. I remember we talked about Face of Death before, but and that fucking Mondo Macabo voodoo bullshit, they got me scared right off the
bat. Mondo Kami?
Yeah, I didn't want to go down to California at all. I want to stay at Morgan.
All right, well, let's bring on our guest for tonight, Mr. Josh Schaefer. Josh, are you there?
I am here.
All righty. Did you get your beer?
I got it.
All right.
Oh, dude, I got it. I didn't even leave. I was listening to you guys talk. I want to hear what this is all about. I'm, like, hanging out, you know?
Oh, well, that's what the show's about. We just kick back bullshit, try to bring up memories, discuss whatever's on our mind.
Oh, I'm with it, man. So you guys, you're talking about your first rentals, right?
Well, just the first, well, my first experience back in the days of VHS actually started because my grandpa was a porno fiend. And
come on down with me,
spent like $1,200 on a top ejector, 6,000 pound
unit. Get underneath my trench coat, Sean. We're going into the back room.
And basically, that's all it was. That was the plane that they opened up for, and that was like he had like three regular movies on the shelf, and then the rest he had like this huge porn. Plethora of porn.
Oh,
in the
yeah,
back.
Those were the best.
I think it was like a $70 or an $80 membership.
They had the little
time.
The little beaded curtain to go through, and they could hear you from outside when you. My God, look at.
But yeah, it quickly went to. All kinds of beyond after that, as soon as the horror movie.
They have Loose Lips Part 5. Yes.
So what about your first experience, Josh?
It was nothing like that, really.
No beaded curtains?
The beaded room. Of course everybody knows the, you know, the beaded room. Mine was more like a... It was like a saloon style swinging door, but yeah, you know, that was even more tempting in some ways. But I mean, Mausoleum.
Mausoleum.
I used to rent Mausoleum all the time. That's a great movie. Talk about boobies.
Yeah, with the booby monsters.
Booby monsters. Bobby Breese.
The best part was the Spanish gardener that goes inside to get a drink of water when he's got the water hose outside. If you watch it, you're like, wow, really?
You're breaking up a little bit, but he is the gardener is, you know, he's the guy in the end. Hate to spoil it for everybody.
Son of a bitch. I haven't seen it yet.
Just watch it for the tit
monster.
That's pretty
fake, though. He's the guy in the end. I mean, that doesn't even really mean anything.
Just watch it for the tit monster.
You know,
I Google it.
Can't go wrong with booby monster.
That's on DVD now anyway.
Booby beast.
It is now.
Well, yeah, no, Code Red, I think, is releasing it, aren't they?
Yeah, you know what? I think Code Red's doing a cool thing. I heard something about them where... Because they do all this crazy stuff, like all this really obscure stuff. You're like, wow, this is great. And then I think what they do is they advertise what they're doing, and then they wait for somebody to contact them about it.
Right. Well, it's kind of –
it's brilliant. It's a way to do it.
Well, I think it's kind of like the old Roger Corman way of getting a movie financed. You make the poster first and then get it out there in circulation and see what the reaction is towards it.
Absolutely.
If it's positive, then you make the movie, and if it's not,
the
then you
hell?
Just – What are you doing?
The hell are you doing? It sounds like you're building a Twinkie out there.
I ain't doing shit. Tim's got butterfly knives going on. And fuck,
man.
You stab yourself in the fucking eye.
Oh,
you just shanked my thigh.
All right, sorry.
Dirty wombat.
God damn. Oh, see what I got to put up with, Josh?
No, madness. Man, this is great.
All right, well, let's
you guys. I mean, I'm like honestly, I'm picturing Brutus the Barber Beefcake over like, in the back. We're like snip, snip. Cool, man, I'm with it.
We're down. Like I said, we're not professional by any means, but our listeners wouldn't expect any more. Mm. So, but yeah, something I was wanting to kind of talk to you about. I know. I think we pretty much. I would assume probably are members of certain groups on the Facebook world, but. The fascination with big boxes lately has just become, it's all fine, but to me it's becoming kind of annoying. I don't know what the search for the big box is, but I noticed a couple of the posts the last couple of weeks, people are getting pretty fanatical about it, and I just was kind of finding it funny. I didn't know what you thought about it.
I mean, I don't know. I've been collecting for a while. I'll be 27 next month. I've been collecting since I'm like 17, so... I was picking up big boxes because they were really, really cool.
Right.
Like the artwork was bigger. I mean, it was different. They had these big cartons, you know, and the artwork was always, it was just bigger, you know, and I mean, I don't know how to really explain it except for that, but. Right.
Well, I think the biggest problem I have with it, and I know Todd has a problem with it sometimes too on some movies, but it just seems like, you know, you read people's posts and stuff like that, and it seems like they're just, they're more fanatical over certain boxes just because of the value that they have.
You know? I mean, for me, it's just cool to see that it's interesting to see the idiosyncrasies that pop up in the culture, man. I mean, I love big boxes. Like, I don't have a ton of them. I have a lot more small boxes than big boxes. But
big boxes are the best.
They're the best. I mean, they're the coolest ones. I mean, I love all the artwork.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's...
I think it's the same thing as with vinyl. I'm a huge vinyl collector, and it's...
You get a gatefold vinyl?
Yeah, dude. There's nothing beats
but
that.
But as a collector, though, of certain movies, I want the movie. I mean, granted, yeah, you want it in a somewhat decent condition. And you don't want it held together with scotch tape. But, I mean, when your sole purpose is to have a movie just to have it because of the value that it contains, it's like, why are you... I mean, you're not a collector. You're just you're an investor, you know.
I mean, but, I think people can be a collector and have that attitude. But I understand, because I'm with you, man. I mean, I see people talking on the Facebook. I go on there and just look at what people have because, you know, I'm just as interested in
right,
as
right.
everybody else. You know, and it's like, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, people were like, I don't want it if it's cut and stuff like that. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I want to see the movie.
Yeah, you know, I've got like, so many.
I want to grab this tape because I want to watch it.
Right. I've got so many videos out of video stores and pawn shops that, you know, they're big cut because their boxes have been so worn over the years that that's the only way that they can still keep it with the tape is by sticking it in a plastic box. And that's the character of the movie. I mean, you know. You don't want it all new and pristine. At least you knew it was worn and washed.
I want the guy that just came out of the beaded curtain to rub his hands all over the fucking front of the
yeah.
box.
Yeah, he touches all sticky and warm. And you're like, what the
who had tapioca pudding in here?
This is a good rental.
Then came out the guy from the beaded curtain and he touched my tape.
Who just tickled my tape and touched my favorite big box?
My box just got bigger.
Went up in value. Dirty guy.
I'll give you $6 for it, cash, right now.
Honestly, man, to talk about the big box thing, and if it annoys you, you know what? I mean, I look at that stuff and I'm like, this didn't exist, you know, when I was started collecting. Like, at least I didn't know about it.
Right.
And you look at the culture that it is, and I've met so many cool people, like-minded individuals that like the same kind of stuff I do, love VHS tapes, and understand it's, like, the only way to watch certain films. It's the only way you're going to see it, and that's what Lunch Meat's all about.
Right.
You know, the magazine is all about giving exposure to films that are only on the VHS format and all the people that, you know, just are a part of that world.
Right.
And it's great. It's great that this culture is coming up. People are like, I love big boxes, because you know what? I love big boxes. I'm not willing to spend $400 to have one.
Right.
But I still love it.
But isn't it kind of chicken shit like we were talking about where – like you said, people that don't even love the movie, they just want it for their collection, and they're pumping up the price of these movies to have them in a collection, and they're never going to get watched.
Yeah, man.
That's,
you know,
not
what?
The point of it.
I think,
or it shouldn't be the point of it.
Well, the thing,
they're not trophies. They're not trophies. I mean, they can be trophies.
Right.
But it's media. You know what I mean? And that media is still viable. You can watch it, and I mean, but I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to see the kind of movies that get expensive. I mean, that Mama's Home is going on for like. That thing is online for what, like several hundred dollars?
Right.
Someone's full of crank.
You can watch that movie on that thing that Camp Motion Pictures just released, that basement VHS thing.
Right.
That movie's on there, and that VHS tape is online for like several hundred dollars.
Right.
And that's why you can back up your collector culture thing. And it's true. People are jacking up prices.
Right.
I was talking to my friend Matt, and I was like, how long do you think this can last, that people are paying this much money for it? And it's like, it's something interesting to think about, because this stuff isn't going to get on DVD.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it's not. So that's the only way you're going to see it, right?
Well, and these are, like Griff was saying, that, you know, to me, this goes back to when I was very young, and I would go to movies at home, and I would go to the National Videos and all these places, and part of the fun was walking in, because Movies at Home had everything. I know you know they're in Independence and Blue Springs. They had it all. If it was available, they'd probably have it at one of their stores. I also like the fact that, unlike current stores now where everything's on a model and everything's exactly the same with exactly the same titles and exactly the same slots, back then every store would have a different selection. Like, some stores would get the oversexed Rug Suckers from Mars, and the others would get like the Revenge of the Teenage Vixens and stuff like that.
And I tell you, growing up,
did you say Rug Suckers?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
baby. Well, I know, like, when I was growing up in St. Joe, you know, for the size of the town that we lived in, we had a ton of video stores.
Yeah, you did.
And the two biggest ones that we had were Video Connection, and then we had Liberty Sound. And the horror section and the sci-fi section on both of those was just astronomically huge. I mean, they had Cemetery Man. They had just, you know, a bunch of the Wizard stuff, the big box stuff. You know, they had Gator Bait and Poor White Trash 2 and just all these really obscure titles. And I was lucky enough to catch it, you know, I mean, sad to say, when video was making its way out and the big mega stores were coming in and knocking all the mom-and-pop places out. I was actually lucky enough at the time, because I had just graduated high school, so we're probably talking, you know, probably late 91, 92, 93. You know, there was a four-year range where these places were going out of business like every 3 or 4 weeks. So you would roll into the Video Connection in south of town, and everything was like $2-3 a piece. So you'd go in with a cardboard box and you just load it up. And there, I mean, you had all the titles that you'd ever rented going home with you for like, you know, $80 or $90. And I scored on a ton of shit. I mean, there's just stuff now that I even forgot that I even have that I put in collection that I'm waiting to get out in my storage unit and stuff to find out what I have that I forgot I even had. So,
well, yeah, that's the thing is, you know, I don't know. I really loved the art.
Right.
I loved the fun of perusing those aisles, and it was like an art form. And right. Now these guys are putting them Night of the Bloody Apes for, you know, $90. It's
well,
gotta stop.
How many times did you go in and you seen, you know, Shock Treatment with the sun faded cover because it's set
sun faded for sure.
You know, I mean, and but
mine's sun faded.
But to me, I would much rather have that sun faded cover than a perfect new cover, because I can remember being a kid seeing that sun faded cover, and I have so many more memories about that movie and watching that movie or renting that movie, you know, than I would if I just went out and bought it new, which, you know, was not bad because I'm sure that, you know, it plays better than the sun-faded copy.
Yeah, but would you rather have the dead pit with the blinking eyes or without? Or only with only one?
With.
Come on now.
Making that noise.
I'm saying with. Hey, you know what? I mean, that's just too cool, man. Like, I would want a new one of those. I want a new one of those. I mean, what about a Frankenhooker? Like talking box,
exactly
right.
You want one of those?
Usually, though, by the time that you got around to experiencing that or finding out about it, it was pretty much already broke by the time and the wires and shit were sticking out of the side.
They put the talking box on the shelf. My video store put the boxes on the shelves with little index cards in front of them, and you'd have to take the index card to the front of the desk, and then they would give you your tape.
Right, ours had like little like paper key fobs.
Oh,
that
yeah,
they, like,
on the
wrote
front.
Wrote the number on it with the little
and
nail.
And sometimes them cocksuckers would come through and put it in the wrong thing. And
well,
the
sometimes
movie
they had
that
those
you were
plastic
excited
to
oh, yeah,
right. Yeah, those little plastic
and
flaps.
You, that, there and the index card would be behind
and you,
the box.
As,
and you're like, oh.
As a young kid, you kept seeing Miss 45 up there, and you kept trying to rent it, and the tab was in the wrong spot, and they kept trying to give you Benji's Lost in the New York.
Either
that's
that or
not
you
what I wanted to watch.
Walk down the fucking aisle and catch your shoulder or fucking
oops.
Knee on one of them fucking nails.
Rack
and
them all out.
Tear a 6-inch gash into your knee. Free rentals nice. For a month. Thanks, Bob, for putting that fucking nail in me.
Hey, when you guys were talking about how those video stores were drying up like every couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
like when was that? Did you like what year?
90, it was
93, 94,
yeah.
something
yeah,
like that.
That's
it,
when the
started,
big evil Blockbuster took over.
For,
I remember there
for
was,
me, it started about 91, because I remember I just got my first, like, yeah. my first major job.
That's when really? Blockbuster came in, man. They fucking bought up every mom-and-pop store in town, man.
See, because I...
Just
like,
raided it.
I'm from South Jersey, like, middle of nowhere, like, 45 minutes above Cape May. It's called Cumberland County. And I was... My video stores that I grew up with were closing around 2003, 2004. And we had some Blockbusters coming in, but I remember the video store I grew up with was called Video Vision.
Right.
And I would go there and, you know, rent all my tapes, and that's where my mom took me and everything. And I went home one weekend because I wasn't living at home, and she was like, Video Vision's closing, and I was heartbroken. I was like, oh, no, they're closing? And she's like, yeah, but they're selling all their stuff. So I went there and I got to like go through all the aisles and like pick stuff off the shelves. That was really fun. Talk about nostalgia.
Right.
I'm like, you know what I mean? From because I've been. I mean, you're talking about going through video stores. Oh man, that's really what's fun. Yeah. You know, like when and that nostalgia. But and you talk about eBay prices. No matter how much money you can spend, you'll never get the same experience as the thrill of the hunt for VHS tapes.
That's right.
Well, and I think that's why I think the flea markets have really turned to that.
Flea markets are.
I mean, that's where it's at now. I mean, you get that same rush, and you know, they're everywhere. You never know what you're going to run across in a
fucking
flea market.
Yeah, the thing, the straw that broke the camel's back, like where I was from, was. It got to the point, you know, I mean, and everybody's experienced it, but with the mom and pop places, you know, they only had a budget of maybe one or two new releases, you know, so if whatever came out, they could probably only afford one copy or two copies at the most. And the big budget places were coming in and just lining the walls with, you know, 20 or 30 copies, and, you know, probably 90% of a population is only going to be interested in the new releases anyway. I mean, there's a small portion of the people that are collectors that go beyond
foreign,
you know, all the oddball shit that we're into. And, you know, it just, the mom and pop places just couldn't, you know, handle the, you know, the just people weren't coming in. You know, now the people that supported that stuff, you know, yeah, we went in, but it just wasn't enough to keep them going. I mean, even Hollywood Video, I don't know if you had Hollywood Videos out in your area, but I know around here when the Hollywood Videos were going out, a buddy of mine's girlfriend was a manager at Hollywood Video, and she called me on the phone one night, and she goes, I just want to let you know we're closing the store. We're having a sale. She goes, it's $10 a bag. You know, whatever you can fit in a bag is 10 bucks. So I was like, is that, you know, is it a paper bag, plastic bag, or what? She goes, no, just any kind of bag. Well, I had gotten these big laundry bags, you know, that were like 4.5 feet tall, kind of like a sailor weekend bag. So me and a buddy of mine, we rolled out there with like four of them, filled them completely up, paid 40 bucks, and I think we got out of there with like 780 some VHS tapes. We completely wiped out their entire horror, sci-fi, and cult section in like 15 minutes. We just threw
it
in.
Did you get the signs? Did you get the signs that say horror, cult, and sci-fi?
They had them all behind the counter, and they weren't selling them. They weren't selling any of the hardware.
That sucks.
So, but it wasn't nothing. I mean, they didn't have any, you know, crazy fonts or anything on it. I mean, it was just a white.
Well, it was all generic, you know? just like Blockbuster. I mean, they're all the same. They didn't put any imagination in it.
Yeah, it was just the regular generic Impact font on a black or a white background and just said horror, you know. But I mean,
I understand.
We were grabbing shit off the shelf so fast, we didn't even have time to read what we were grabbing. I mean, it wasn't until we got back home and was dumping them on the floor that, you know, we had like two or three copies of this and a copy of this and Blackenstein and all these other movies. And we're just like, we got all these movies for 40 bucks, you know.
How many movies do you think you had?
Me?
How many VHS tapes? Yeah.
I think at the last count, I was right around a little over 2,000.
That's a nice collection.
But that's not all video store stuff. I mean, a lot of that stuff is like mainstream stuff. You know, it's like the Universal Collection, the, you know, the Atomic Age stuff, the Godzillas, and the Friday the
13th. Oh,
yeah,
I imagine so. I mean, that's why I said it's a nice collection. I'm sure you got a bunch of different stuff. I mean, my collection, it's funny when I look at other people's collections. That's what's so cool about it. You know what I mean? When you look at people's collections of something, it's pretty diverse. You know, you see some, you know, the same stuff, but then you see people's tastes come through. And
right.
My stuff is... it's not like my friend Matt's stuff.
Right.
My friend Matt Desiderio, who is a great guy, VHS enthusiast, does this thing called Horror Boobs. His collection's amazing. You know, you're talking about going through shops and buying stuff. I mean, I go up to New York, and they have these porno shops, right? Like, they have these porno shops. Do you guys know about this?
I've heard about the New York porno shops.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck was that?
I know, right? Damn.
That was my New York porno voice.
Where's your beaded curtain?
You know this conversation was going to end up at the porno shop, right? That's going to happen.
I'm frightened.
Well, I was going to say, Griff's got 2,000 VHS, but he ain't telling you about his West Wing of porn. He's got it hidden away.
Not since the internet came around.
Buried.
Did
he's got
an addition.
He's got that shit buried. He's got it buried in the backyard when the apocalypse hits.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Me and Del Rio going for a ride.
Oh, so what I was talking about these porno shops, right? So you're talking about going and being able to buy VHS tapes. Still, I mean, it's legit there. I mean, they have like sealed stuff because the way it happened is these porno shops, there was some rule that the mayor made. It has to be like 60-40 or some percentage like that. So they can have porno stuff and toys and like, you know, sex videos. But they also have to carry regular home video. So they have all this other stock they have in the basement. And like they have it out and stuff. And
is it all the Disney hard cases?
No, man. It's real legit stuff. Do you want me to read some of the stuff I got? I have it next to me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I got Savage Dawn, Club Extinction, Night Beast, Wavelength, Savage Dawn again. I mean, like, that's the thing. They have sealed copies of stuff. All this crazy shit up there, man. I mean, you go there, it's got this me and Matt call it porno dust, where it's just like coated in dirt, and you're like, ugh. It's like so nasty.
That's not dirt, buddy. That's not dirt.
It's porno dust.
That's dried tapioca.
Those is babies. Just add water.
Matt would probably be stabbing.
So what's the flea markets out like that? You got crazy big giant flea markets?
In South Jersey, we have some. South Jersey, we have this thing called UCell Flea Market, which is way better in the spring and summer. The winter sucks. Let's see. There's a thing called Cowtown in South Jersey, which is pretty cool if you can catch, because they have, like, it's a merchant place, but like an outside merchant. And they sell, like, toys and clothes and stuff like that. But they also have this section out in the fields, because it's a rodeo, too. They have this, like, whole big property. But people like come out, it's like a huge yard sale. Like, you pay $30 and you get a table, and it's like a huge yard sale, and that's pretty cool. You can find tapes out there. Goodwill's, Salvation Army's, but I mean, it's drying up down there. Maybe it's because it's winter, I don't know. I mean, the past few years have been less than I'm used to, so
right. Well, I think a lot of it has to do also too is with the invent, I mean, with the oncoming of like the internet, people just aren't getting.
It's because I've been collecting VHS in South Jersey for 10 years, so I got everything I wanted.
Well, everybody that had, you know, everybody that has stuff like that throws it up on eBay or puts it on Amazon or Craigslist, and a lot of it doesn't make it to the pawn shops anymore.
I don't ever sell my tapes. I sell other stuff, like I'll sell records and stuff, but I never ever sell my tapes.
Because, right. I mean, even we noticed it, like some of the flea markets we go to, the stuff that they had 10, 15 years ago. And the flea markets are just, it's not the same stuff, you know, just because of stuff like eBay.
And you want to talk about something sad? It sucks when we go hunts and, like, go out and brave the cold or, like, you know, do whatever. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's different now. The whole whole culture.
Fucking internet. It's all, I blame the internet.
It's not so much the internet. It's
just, somebody said something to me the other day, and they were like, one of my friends, like, well, you know, you have caused it, right? And I was like, yeah. I guess that's kind of true. Not really, though, because I don't want to think of it like that. Like, well, you caused awareness about it, kind of, and I'm like,
Yeah, but you're not dropping $400 for a VHS and causing everybody to throw everybody on eBay.
Somebody
who we need to get a hold of and smack him in the testicles about 8 times.
Yeah, but that shit,
I mean,
all.
Personally, and I'm wide open about this, I would never, ever pay that much for a VHS tape, no matter how bad I wanted it.
I don't think I've ever paid a lot of money like that for any movie that I own.
The most I've ever paid for VHS tape was $40, and that was for The Killing of Satan, because I had to have it for Lunch Meat's 5 favorite satanic covers. Because The Killing of Satan is one of my favorite satanic covers, and it had to be in there. And it was $40, and I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. Like, I'm doing it. And I paid $40 for a tape, but I love that tape. It's Paragon, Big Box. Big Box coming back at you. Like, you know what I mean?
Is that one of your prized possessions?
I think I get this question a lot. What's your favorite tape? I think prized possessions, I collect a lot of different stuff. Like, I collect records and books, comics, posters, you name it. Pez dispensers. I mean, like, I have all kinds of shit. I have stuff that you would, I mean, my...
You're going to need a bigger house.
You're going to need a bigger house.
I remember that. I think
like, hey, your house is like decorated for a Halloween party. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
But speaking of the price on stuff, I'd called Tim one day. Me and my wife had stopped into a place here that we have around here called Vintage Stock over in Lee Summit, close to where I live. And I was walking through their DVDs and stuff, and I just happened to look down, and I seen a copy of Swamp Thing sitting there. And, fuck, I had seen it 3 or 4 million other times, but just never quite looked at it long enough. I got looking at it, I was like, something don't look right with that copy. So I just started looking at it, and I was like, that's the green copy, the one that's got the 5 minutes of Adrian Barbeau's tits exposed in it, the one that they put out and then took back off the shelf. So I look at it, it's like $5.99 or $7.99. I go up to the guy at the counter, and he goes, oh, okay. So he rings it up, and Michelle's like, what'd you find? I said, yeah, I just bought a $7 copy of Swamp Thing on DVD that sells for about $150 on eBay, and the fucking guy's eyes behind the counter got as big as saucers, and he's like, really? It's like, yeah. He goes, damn, I wish I would have known that when it came in. I would have bought it and sold it. And I'm like, yeah, but...
Dick!
You know, after searching for that movie...
You didn't.
Then suddenly my hand reaches across and bashes him across his nostril about six times.
But I looked for that movie for 2 years.
Fucking scumbag.
Never bought it.
Son of a bitch!
Never bought it. Finally found it. And it was like the greatest achievement in my entire life. I was like, I finally found it out of all the searching.
But it was a double victory because you found one of your grails and you dropped some knowledge on that guy.
Right.
You did.
It rubbed it in his face.
You're like, yo, I got this, and now it's
stuck it down his
more.
Pants and rubbed his nuts
plus
on
I,
it.
Plus
it
and you get to look at Adrian Barbeau's boobies.
Yep, and they were glorious boobies.
That's a trifecta right there.
Shitty movie, but great tits.
Bing bong.
That averaged out to about $4.20 a nipple.
So you guys are big VHS heads. Have you seen this movie? And I hear it's terrible, but I'm about to watch it. And I don't know if you guys watch it. It's called Open House with Adrian Barbeau.
It's pretty god awful, but yeah.
It's on Netflix, I know.
Is it on Netflix?
Uh-huh. No, it's on Instant Watch Netflix.
I'd love to talk about that because they're putting so much stuff up that's not available on DVD on the instant download, and I kind of love it. I mean, I want to watch the tape, but I mean, I don't even use Netflix. I'll be honest. I say I love the idea of it. I don't even use it.
Right.
Because I'm watching tapes all the time and DVDs, and I don't know. I'm not on the computer that much.
Well, we find a lot of stuff like Hunted Out. The Devil Within.
Yeah. What is it?
Devil Within. Devil Within.
Midgets and Joan Collins.
Midgets, Joan Collins, and midget babies. It's
Hercules,
awesome.
Hercules, Hercules.
Whoa.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, you gotta watch that.
They just released it on DVD, but it was unavailable for a long time.
You need to watch Bad
Boy. And I just happened to run across it on Netflix.
Tell him to watch Bad Boy Bubby. He'd get kicked out.
Yeah, watch Bad Boy Bubby.
Have you seen The Baby?
I've seen The Baby.
Yeah.
Because people were talking about it at a VHS night that we did in Brooklyn,
Don't walk.
That movie's weird. Have you guys, I mean, you just guys...
Don't walk.
What's that?
Have you seen Bloodsucking Freaks, right?
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah.
Dude, that movie is one of the weirdest movies I've seen. I mean, let's talk about some weird movies.
Midgets in it, it's up in the top 10.
Well, I think that's why I thought about it, because of the midget. Have you seen, what's that one? Now I sound like that guy that's like, what's that one?
Manitou.
Manitou.
You gotta watch Manitou.
Manitude? What is it?
Manitou.
Todd gets mad when we call it Manitou.
I don't care what you call it. Any way you look at it, it's just got a cool scene with a guy coming out of someone's back.
He's got the crazy midget shaman in the back growing out of the chick's spine. She's got the big giant hump on her back.
It's her neck.
On her neck.
Looks like a big boil and the fucking
shift changer pops into the hotel. And what's his name's got to fight that? Who's it? Jamie's dad.
Oh, Curtis. What's his name? Oh, Curtis.
Who is it?
Who's Jamie? Who's the transvestite Jamie Lee Curtis's dad?
Who's the wiener wielder?
Damn it. We're going to talk about wieners again. We got to go to break.
Yeah, we got
to
go. We'll be back. We got to go to break.
There's a break?
Yeah, a break.
We got to take a break.
We'll be right back.
Have to sign you.
Is there like people hanging out?
There you go, Tim.
God damn it, jeez.
What's causing that feedback? Am I going to have to get fucking Wes Marr up in here?
This is why I don't promote the show.
You guys are back!
Todd, by the way, I love your, what is this thing called? Your icon? Your avatar?
Yeah,
with
yeah, isn't that
with
funny?
A little rabbit. I love how it's pixelated. It's like, it's awesome.
It's all messed up.
Fuck's
it's
sake.
All messed up. It's like, you know, it's got character, dude.
Is that your fucking unicorn picture?
No. That's
like
sucks.
An evil jackal with a Bugs Bunny.
He only uses that on the porn forums.
Bastards.
This is my Pegasus.
All right, guys, we're back for break. Joining us on the show is the editor-in-chief of Lunch Meat Magazine, Mr. Josh Schaefer.
Hello, everyone.
If anybody is interested in checking out Mr. Schaefer's magazine, you can go on the internet at, what is the website?
www.lunchmeat.
Why Lunch Meat? Why did you, how'd that come about?
Well, actually, I named my magazine after one of my favorite video-only movies, and it is called Lunch Meat.
Lunch Meat.
There you go. I mean, when I was thinking it up, I was like, I actually created it with a friend of mine who is still involved, but he pretty much, he helps with content and just writes right now. His name's Ted. What's up to Ted, if he ever listens to this. But we were thinking about it and about what to name it, you know, like, what the hell are we going to call it? And it just hit us. It was like, Lunch Meat. Yeah, whatever. Let's do that. That sounds great. And it made perfect sense. And it was a great movie that I absolutely love, and Ted was cool with it, and we did it. But that's where the name came from. I mean, it's definitely a total homage to Lunch Meat, the movie by Kirk Alex, Tapeworm Home Video.
Very cool. Yeah, I got a copy of it. The copy I got from you in the mail, I was reading through it. Very impressed. Very nice layout. Nice, slick, glossy cover, and definitely got that old school vibe back when, before internet accessibility, when people actually had to go out and buy magazines and books to get information and stuff. So it's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing about it, man. When I started, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's actually good to have something in your hand again and hold and actually look and carry it around and use it as a reference tool.
Yeah, you know what? That's a big thing about Lunch Meat, too, is, the existence of physical media and how it's important. I mean, one of the underlying things, not just about VHS, because, you know, we love VHS. Lunch Meat is all about VHS. I love physical media. I love books, magazines, you know, just analog media. I think it's important, especially when we're in this hyper stage of all kinds of internet and technology and all this crazy stuff. And there really is a special experience about analog stuff and holding something in your hand, something tangible, flipping the pages. That kind of thing is something that I think is really enjoyable, and it's something that I try to put across by publishing, you know, an independent magazine. So, yeah, that's an important facet of it. But, so
now on when you're publishing the magazine, what is it bi-monthly, or do you just do one every 4 months, or how do you publish?
I do it as quickly as I can. That's pretty much it. I mean, the operation, you know, I feel like there's some confusion with how it happens. It's really kind of flattering when people are like, oh, yeah, the Lunch Meat team. Like, pretty much it's me in my apartment conceptualizing stuff, making ideas for articles, and reaching out to my friends who write for me. I have some pretty great friends that are into writing and doing all that kind of stuff, and they write for me for copies. You know, when I make the magazine, they just take copies.
Right.
You know, which is really cool. And then, but basically, I put a lot of it together. I edit everything, of course, collect all of it, design the bulk of it. I have a few friends that help me design it. My friend does a spread in it every time. He does the crossword puzzle, and my buddy does the covers. And then I lay out the bulk of everything else, and I do it in my apartment, and you know, it's my baby. I love doing this stuff,
and well, the one thing that I really reminded me of is you know, back in the late 80s and the early 90s was like a lot of the music fanzines and stuff that came out. You know, a lot of it was just pretty much drawn and put together in people's apartments. You know,
Hit Parader.
Yeah, hit parade.
Well, I mean, I
circus.
I think that's why it looks like that, man, because it really is me in my apartment, like putting this shit together.
Right, but it was
cut
the kind
and paste.
But it was the kind of magazine that you would pick up in the corner record store. You know, I mean, it wasn't something you found at the mall at the, you know, the big chain bookstores. It was something you had to go to, like the little dirt radio or record store.
Dirt radio stations, just like this one.
I thought it was like a lunch meat. I was thinking it was down there at the porno shop.
Yeah, lunch meat is something you would read in a porno shop. I also recommend it for taking a dump reading.
Yeah, it's definitely good bathroom reading.
The reviews behind it lasts one every deuce. You know what I mean? Like
bam.
It's programmed to work with you on that level.
But is it programmed to help induce or?
I mean, I don't know about
loosen
that.
The stool.
Depends on the individual. But I mean,
loosen the sphincter. Release the fury.
No, I know. We was talking earlier.
Don't talk like that with Griff in the room doing, you know, anything could happen. He'll go charging out of here.
I'll be back. Nature calls, my friend. Nature calls. So what I noticed that we was talking earlier about your program that you're running on the Monster Channel now. Friday nights at, 11 Central?
It's 12 East. It's midnight Eastern Standard, so here it's 12:12. Here on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, and it started 12 minutes ago. So, yeah, it happens every Friday night.
Cool.
That was a great experience.
And a very good show, by the way. I watched it. Like, I missed last week's. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I caught the first 2 weeks, the Video Violence 1 and then the Video Violence 2, and I had
a
blast.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun to do. Joe Cena, who runs the Monster Channel, contacted me and said he liked lunch meat, and I talked to him for about 8 or 9 months, you know, talking about the project, and we developed it, and there was some bumps in the road and everything, and eventually he was like, well, I want you to write it and host it, and I said, sure, I'll do that. So I wrote the parts, and I went there and filmed it in one day, like 5 hours, recorded 7 episodes, and it was an absolute blast, man. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it's cool that it's out there. I'm just stoked that we get to show these cool movies. You know, like Video Violence rules, and there's some movies on there that I'm like, I won't cater to the movie. You know what I mean? Like if I think the movie's like really crappy, I'll be like, eh, this movie's not that great.
Right.
So I mean, you know what I mean? Because I love horror hosting, and somebody mentioned to me like, well, that's like horror hosting, and I'm like, I guess it kind of is. And you know, and like my favorite horror hosts were always very plain about how bad that movie was. You
right.
know what I mean? So it's actually cool because some of the movies this season are actually really good. Video Violence is great. Video Violence 2 is great. I think Splatter Farm is one of the most extreme shot-on-video horror films I've ever seen in my entire life. You guys ever seen Splatter Farm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And, yeah. You know, what's interesting is, and I mentioned it on the show, is the way Camp Motion Pictures released it and the way it was shown on the show is actually not the VHS version. The VHS version has much more stuff. So anybody that wants to go out there and search for a VHS that has some ultra rewards, it has more stuff. It's not cut the same way.
Yeah, they fixed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but in my case, the VHSs that came out were, sorry not to mean to interrupt, Griff, but they were the wrong cuts because a producer I had was a bastard, and he took my rough cut and ran off with it before I could even give him because he wanted to get sales so quickly that he ran off with my rough cut.
Yeah,
it didn't even have the right music.
About.
It was terrible.
Todd, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, it's not the way you wanted to see it, but I mean, that was the original way it came out. Splatter Farm on VHS was like, it's the same thing you're talking about. They took the print of the film that they weren't happy with and put it out. And then years later, it gets reissued.
Well, hell with mine. Hell, I told them you're going to get me in trouble. They had damn temp music because, you know, when you're editing, you sometimes put temp music down like Slayer or SOD or whatever. And I had SOD on there and some other bands that I was using for temp music for the pacing of the cuts. And, man, they released that sucker. I'm like, oh, great. Good job, guys. That's only ridiculously stupid. Yeah,
wow.
They, you know, some of those.
Now
yeah.
I want that VHS even more.
$400 on eBay, buddy, and you can have your copy.
SOD
it was like $900. I couldn't believe it was on there for that.
That's amazing.
Todd will even draw you up a big box and send it to you.
Sold.
But yeah,
Jesus.
But yeah, the show is really fun, and you know, it's got a really good response, and I'm excited to go back and film some more and make more shows. I mean, it was a lot of fun to do. It was a really cool experience. Joe's a professional guy, in the nicest way, and I had a great time. I'm glad that people are digging it. I hope I can do it more.
Yeah, I was following the chat room while I was watching it, and it seemed like it was getting a pretty good response.
Yeah, I saw that. It's weird looking at yourself, even if it's just on a computer screen. But no, I went on there, and it really is about the community. Like, I'm talking about, I publish a magazine because I care about this stuff.
Right.
Like, I want people to know about it, and the fact that people are responding to it in a way that's really enthusiastic is cool, you know? So.
What are you playing tonight? Because I'm missing it right now, obviously.
But. God damn it! We need a TV in here!
What's next week's episode for anybody that's listening and wants to check it out?
Shut it down!
You know, I mean, I'm going to disappoint you and say I'm not sure because...
Oh, Jesus.
Who's in charge of that?
Who's running the show around here?
Oh, come on, man. but I do know tonight is Beauty Queen Butcher. It's like this shot on video, looks like a school project, kind of. And it's like the Carrie paradigm. Oh, but they do microwave a cat.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm there.
They put this girl's cat in a microwave.
Dirty bastards!
Kitty. Here, kitty. Now, that's the way I like my canine.
Can I tell you a really funny story from the show? So, for this movie, you know, I had to write a script for each movie, you know, to do the wraparounds.
Right.
And Joe went over and he made some notes. You know what I mean? He made some notes on it and all that kind of stuff. And he had his son do it, who is about, I don't know, I think 15 or 16. And I had a 15-year-old writing out my cue cards for the recording. Okay? He's in marker. And I mean, I wrote this stuff pretty raw. You know, I could say whatever I wanted. So there's some pretty off-color jokes and, you know, there's some weird shit in there. And, like, he made this this ulterior cut where he's like, and the, oh, man, they microwaved their cat. That's some hot pussy. Like, you know what I mean? And he wanted his 15-year-old son to write that on a cue card. And I'm just like, what? I didn't say it in the show. We didn't use it. But, I mean, there's a little snippet for you of how that production
did. Did he pay you in nachos?
Yo, you know what? My name is Josh Schaefer, and I will take payment in nachos.
Do you have hot pockets?
He paid me, and this is going to sound cheesy, but he paid me in kindness, man. He was a really good guy.
No, I was just giving you a hard time because I thought
you're
always spewing the nacho.
Dude, I mean, I do talk about nachos quite a bit. And I will tell you one thing. I love nachos. It's not a front.
No, like, no, I just...
You know, I'm not saying it for aesthetic value. I'm saying it because I love some nachos.
I will punch you in the throat for some cheese whiz.
That's what the first episode I watched when I was watching Video Violence, he was throwing out the nacho bit, and I was like, well, that's kind of an odd combination, Video Violence and nachos. I was like, well, you don't get that every Friday night at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, it's cool.
I had forgotten about Video Violence. God damn, I had fun watching that movie.
Wow,
I mean,
that
it's
movie
just,
is terrific.
It was just some parts in it where you're like, really, am I watching this? And like I said, the fun part is, for one, it's a shot on video movie, so you got that aspect of it. Plus, you get to follow the people in the chat room. So, because you got the movie side by side on your computer screen, so you're watching the movie, and then you got the chat room right beside it. And some of the people commentating while the movie's going on is just hilarious. I mean, you're just sitting there rolling. And,
yeah, that's entertainment in itself.
You know, and you talk about a quick, I mean, hour and a half will go by in no time just because you're not paying attention to the clock, but you're just having a great time.
Yeah, that whole site's really fun. I think the whole, like, design is amazing because if you think about it, it's like a – because they stream content 24/7, so right. It's like a movie theater that's
plus,
always open.
Plus, he gives a lot of horror hosts a place to broadcast. I mean, there's a lot of people broadcasting shows on there.
Oh yeah, I mean he's looking at all kinds of stuff. You know, I think it's a really cool thing to be a part of. And Lunch Meet VHS Rewind Theater, which is a mouthful now that I say it, but it's his first original programming. You know what I mean? It's the first thing that he produced and collaborated with, and it was a really cool thing to be a part of that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, if obviously this is his first attempt, I hope he's got a lot more lined up because, like I said, it's pretty entertaining.
Why is he laughing at over there?
He shit his pants.
He loses his mind.
He sit over here, shit his pants, so he's entertained.
Todd Sheets, shit his sheets.
Tim.
That wasn't me. That was Tim. I'm in the booth. Yeah. I'm far away, protected by glass.
No, you're not, because you got the fucking hole at the open. It's going to seep up in there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn you all.
You're
in a glass booth, dude? You got like a booth?
Yes, sir. This is a studio, my man. This is a studio.
That's killer. You know, when I think about a studio, I always think about that scene in TCM2. And where she's in the radio station, and then Leatherface comes in,
or better yet, you got a old Chop Top in there,
sweaty thigh.
You're my fave.
Well, the studio portion that I'm sitting in right now smells like a fucking Chinese dumpster on a hot.
Thanks
summer
a lot,
afternoon.
Guys. Every time you leave, it takes 2 days for me to air out the studio.
That's him.
I bet it smells just like stretching.
He eats things. Tim comes in here with things like a banana, like a wedge of bananas under his arm, and like some pina colada mixed with Jack Daniels with a little bit of chocolate milk in it. And then he drinks it, and it looks like Linda Blair's vomiting in the studio.
What we need to do is we need to start broadcasting the webcam during our show, so people can see what goes on.
No one would believe us.
There's a new whole angle, man. Live video. I would do live video. I mean, I'm getting used to it.
I've never heard such a thing.
I've never heard such a thing.
It doesn't exist.
But hey, I know Todd just gave me the 2 minute finger.
Oh Jesus!
Which means we're running close on time. But I tell you what. We'll just make this part one of a part two episode. And we'll, because
that's how we do it.
So
you've been Rickrolled, my friend.
Rickrolled?
God damn it. Son of a bitch.
But this is the time, Josh, where we start plugging stuff, or we attempt to plug.
Lunch meat.
So plug all your stuff, your goodies on your website. Stuff that you sell.
Plug it.
Plugs away.
Plug Tim's ass.
Plug it.
Online. It's lunchmeatvhs.com. You can also just go to lunchmeatmagazine.com. Either one will work. Lots of cool stuff on there. I got a blog. You can look at on there. You can buy the magazine on that site. We have some T-shirts and some other fun stuff on there.
Buttons. You got buttons.
Yeah, we got button sets. We got lots of stuff. Like
cool button sets.
Celebrating the whole VHS era, everything like that. Yeah, and the show, as we talked about, I am doing a show for the Monster Channel, and it's monsterchannel.tv, and it airs every Friday night at midnight.
Watch it.
Lunch Meat VHS Rewind Theater. It's a lot of fun, and you can talk to a bunch of people that like the same stuff you do, which is always good fun. And, I mean, that's all I really got to plug, man. I mean, it's cool to be on here, and thank you for having me. I can't wait for... Part
Deuce. We're glad to have you, and we gotta go, bitches! Right,
laters.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Caramba.